been a special day today. It's been, you know, it's been a lot of hard work. You know, we've come together, you know, as a community. It's been like 18, 19 months since we lost the rail to our community. And, you know, our community's been so strong in terms of coming together. And I just want to say, you know, thank you for, you know, being so strong and also being very patient because it's been tough. But in saying that, yes, you know, we've had, it was challenging. What's really great about it, though, is that, you know, we really came together, you know, side by side. And in saying that, we had a lot of support from many, many communities along the Bay Line, right across this province, and even as far as Vancouver, Toronto. So we've had a lot of support along the way. We had tourists, you know, that were coming in, and they were giving money to, you know, the community so that we can make sure that some of the folks that were short on groceries were getting that. So, you know, it's really shown that as communities come together, you can be strong and you can, you know, by coming together, you can achieve, you know, what we needed to achieve. Right on.
There's a film that I show in my business history class called The Other Side of the Ledger, filmed a very long time ago. The amazing, maybe surprising, certainly disturbing thing about that 1970 documentary is that you watch it and you listen to the conversations that are had with Indigenous people in northern Manitoba who are dependent on those northern stores for provisions. And it could have been filmed now. The conversation is unchanged. So little has changed, right? They're complaining about monopolies, that, you know, the only place we can get food in this particular northern community is this one store. There's no competition, and so there's no need to, you know, lower your prices. The dependence, too, on this company. And then two, the quality of the goods. You know, there isn't a desire to necessarily to, you know, provide, you know, fresh produce at peak condition. And there are, of course, also explanations. Certainly, that the companies involved offer for this. You know, it's difficult to get fresh lettuce on a sustainable basis at a low cost in communities that far north. But that, as the film makes clear, as conversations with the locals in Churchill makes clear, that is not a complete explanation of, well, what's going on there. And so, you know, there's a frustration with the store at the same time as a need for the store and a dependency on the store. And, you know, there are, of course, efforts to create cooperatives. But many of them have the same challenges as well, in terms of providing affordable and fresh goods. While food provision has changed in some ways in Churchill, as I said, the problems that are outlined in that 1970 Other Side of the Ledger NFB documentary are the same ones that persist to this day. And I think this is one of the challenges of the North, is that in some ways the economy is becoming dependent on tourism. And so to sustain yourselves, you're wanting to cater to tourists, but that also undermines other aspects of your sustenance. And I don't know what the answer to that is, But certainly it's one of the challenges. It's there too when it comes to hunting and fishing lodges, right? You're bringing in tourists, often from outside of the country, certainly not folks who live in the region full time. And for sport, largely, that said, there's difficulties in trying to rely on country foods just to keep yourself alive, because it's an expensive proposition. It becomes a difficult question of who has the right to the flora and the fauna of the north, and how do you determine access to those? And so and we talked with Helen Weber about snow geese, which she very kindly prepared and served to us, and it was delicious. But she talked about how that was a particular animal that is tremendously available. There's such a large population that that isn't one that they have to control or regulate or have a season for. But there are other animals there where that's not the case, where they're very careful about what is permitted. And then when it comes to something like fishing, it gets even more complex, because then you have all these regulations from federal and provincial governments about not only when and how to fish, but who you can sell it to. So much talk these last few years about the gig economy, and you know, you have a house, why not also rent out a room? You have a car, why not also turn it into an Uber? But if you catch some fish, you can't just sell the excess. If you make some bannock at home, you can't just package some extra and offer it for sale. There's regulations that make that very difficult, if not impossible in some cases. So avenues for income that may have existed, you know, decades ago have been cut off because of increased regulations, partly because of interests in health and safety issues, partly because of interests in maintaining populations, partly perhaps also because of interests in just wanting control. And all of these make the question of northern food far more complicated than questions of food in other regions of the country. And there are activists in that community who, they understand the history because they've lived through it, they're longtime residents, and they are doing what they can to make change in their community. They're doing what they can to sustain their community. They're doing what they can to preserve traditions. And so, you know, however much we talk about the challenges of the community, we also have to talk about those folks who are doing that work and who have always been doing that work. You know, so it's very easy to have deficit-oriented conversations about the North. But there have always been and always will be those folks in there who are resisting that and are persisting. You know, it's not a Pollyanna approach to point that out. It's not just some, well, you know, it's a progress and things are always getting better, and you know, it doesn't matter how awful things have been, there's always hope. That's not the message. The message is that, you know, these particular individuals and others like them whom we didn't have a chance to talk about, they're the Churchill that matters. They're the ones that will have been there and will continue to be there as all these other groups cycle in and out.